without further ado, okay. Yom Kippur, the strange avoda that we had, Bizman Shel Beis Hamikdash HaYakayim, was the idea of the Sira Mishtaleach, that we are severely handicapped without it. The Gemara tells us, the Rambam brings in Hilchos Tshuva, you know, when we had the Sira Mishtaleach, you know, we got like guaranteed kapara, even without tshuva on minor sins, and with tshuva even on the major sins. It's quite a peculiar avoda. You know, the you have two goats, identical. That's all have to be identical. Shavim bekomo bemare, and then you draw lots on them. You know. One will be a korban la'Hashem, the other will go la'Azazel. It's just the whole thing is rather strange, as is, but it's particularly strange when you consider that if not for the fact that the Torah commanded to do Sira Mishtaleach, it will be Osir al-Tzavodah Zarah Mamish. You know that? Because it's technically an offering to the Satan. If not for the fact that the Torah said to do it, it would be Avodah Zarah Mamish. Right, and this Sira Mishtaleach is, what brought us Kapora. You know, it's one of the big perks of having a Beis Hamikdash. That sadly, without a Beis Hamikdash, that's what we're missing. You know, amongst the rest of the sacrificial order, but the Sira Mishtaleach was Machaper on all our sins. It's a very peculiar thing, and you can't just, designate a Sira Mishtaleach. There was this whole ritual that, there would be draw lots. And you had two goats looked identically the same, and one would go la Hashem, one would go la Azazel, and it had to be done through this ritual of like drawing lots. It's a very... It's a strange avodah that needs to be understood because, it has to do with the very essence of what Yom Kippur does. In a sense that it was the central avoda that brought us kapora, and whatever we have left of Yom Kippur is something that has to, something that runs similar and parallel to the idea of Sira Mishtaleach. The Atzmo Shayom Mechaper that we still have, that the day itself brings kapora, so it's whatever's left over from, but it was, the full thing. But we had the Sira Mishtaleach. So however we're going to explain, Sira Mishtaleach will also explain, what Yom Kippur still has for us, even in this day and age, without the Sira Mishtaleach. Right, there's a very interesting Lashon of the Rambam that made it, it seems to have made its way into the Nusach HaTfilah, so I guess there must be a Lashon like that, elsewhere in Chazal. Right, it's a Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Tshuva. Quoting roughly from memory, he says, he opens up a very interesting halacha, Yom Kippurim, who's man tshuva l'kol, l'achid, v'l'rabim, it is a time, Yom Kippur is a time of tshuva for everybody, the individual and the public, right? V'uketz mechila v'slicha l'Yisrael, and it is the edge of forgiveness for Am Yisrael. And that, these three words, Ketz Mechil V'Slich Yisrael, is we say in Ne'ilah. In the, we say at the end of Shemona Esrei, Ketz Mechila. And that's a, so it's a very interesting Lashon.
What's the last word,
Ketz? Ketz Mechila V'Slich Yisrael. It's really like an edge. Ketz means an edge, like Ketz Hayomim, end, edge of days. It's the end or edge of forgiveness. Like I said, that Lashon made its way into the Ne'ilah also. Wasn't me, just the words. Now, the truth is, from the first part of the Rambam that we quoted, there's also something to think about, halachically speaking. All right, say Yom Kippur is a Zman Tshuva, and therefore everyone has to do Tshuva and Vidui and Yom Kippur. That's the, because it's Zman Tshuva for everybody and everything. So I want to ask a question. Are women potter? Mitzvah says she has man groma. There's man tshuva. Not, because he says back in the end of, and therefore all Yisrael have to do tshuva and vidui on Yom Kippur. all Yisrael, now women are not an exception to rule, but it's called Zman Tshuva. Right, so it's Mitzvah Shas Ban Groma. Women should be potter. You would think. So another thing about Yom Kippur that we actually learned about in Derech Hashem is that year-round we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso quietly. On Yom Kippur we're allowed to say it loud and clear. So the Ramchal explained to us, year-round, this world is not God's glorious majesty. Because we have the Yetzirah, making us, not live up to what God wants, and tainting the world is not, the pure, good place that God intended it to be. So even though it's true that the whole world is His glorious majesty, it's nothing to be proud of. So we say it in a whisper. Right? It says, on Yom Kippur, and not only that, he says more, we wouldn't be allowed to whisper it, he says over there, as you recall, if not for a fact that we're the descendants of Yaakov Avinu, who said it, so we're... on the merit of Yaakov, even that we're Bnei Yaakov, on that merit we're even allowed to say it, in a whisper. But on Yom Kippur, that we're, as we know, the Yetzer Hara, he takes the day off on Yom Kippur. Gemara says, Ha Satan is Gematria 364, but a 365 days in the solar cycle. All right, so there's the one extra day where, he doesn't work. He only works 364 days a year. That's Yom Kippur. That's a Gemara. And the Ramchal has that Gemara in mind when he's talking. He says that on Yom Kippur, we have no Yetzirah, we're on the Madreg of Malachim, so we could say it out loud like the Malachi Asharis do. Right? So we have to go a little bit deeper into this idea that how Yom Kippur is different from all the other days of the year. Not just, that means it's also different than Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because in Shabbos and Yom Tov, for all their extra kedusha that they have, right, you still can't say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso out loud. Right, something special about Yom Kippur, the 365th day, and as long as three, only 364. And with this, you'll get to another Lashon Chazal that talks about, and the Rambam cops it, Atzmo Shel Yom Mechaper. Atzmo Shel, you'll find this Lashon, Atzmo Shel Yom, the essence of the day. It's not a day like any other day. So, the Medrash says in Parshas Bereishis, it's a Medrash that goes through the Psukim of day one of creation. Right, and this Lashon HaMedrash also makes it into our prayers. Right, the Medrash says that darshan's everything, all the darkness is Maiseh HaRashayim, right, Choshech, right, and then all the times it says Or is Keneged the Maaseh HaTzadikim, the deeds of the righteous. That's how the Medrash, every time it says Choshech, it's something about the bad, everything it says, or it's something about the good. Huh? And then, Vayi Erev, Vayi Boker, Yom Echad. So all the psukim talking about creation, life, talking about the struggle between good and evil, and it all ends off with Vayi Erev, Vayi Boker, Yom Echad, day one, which all the Mefarshim are bothered by. There's a issue, which you say Yom Rishon, first day. Because there's going to be a second one and a third day, right? So it says, Yom Echad. So there's sort of Medrash, especially coming on the tail of having darshaned all the psukim beforehand on the struggle of good and evil, says two pshatim. It says, one pshat is, Shaya Kosh Baruch Hu Yachid Ba'olamo. We always call day one, because there was only one thing, God. Because everything else that there was in existence didn't really have a name of being existent. It really didn't have a... Because it was all underwater. It was all underwater. It was all, as it were, still in a state of dissolved, but dissolved as in pre-formation. Nothing was formed yet. So it's like this raw matter, right, that in no way obscures that God is the one and only. It's when things start taking form and shape and look like they have some type of existence of their own. But in that state of tohu vavohu and everything was underwater, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yachid ba'olamo. It was only echad. There's only one thing, God. There's no such thing as anything else yet. So because that raw matter that was in existence, it's all underwater. It doesn't count. By the way, that's the kavana that the Rishonim say on the mikveh, that a person should view it, that when he submerges himself underwater, he dissolves there. It's like he doesn't exist anymore. And that's when you get out, that's why you're pure, because the old you dissolved there. It's like, and in that state, the whole world was underwater. God split the waters only on the second day. Nothing exists yet, really. So there's just a potential for existence, but there's still, God is still yachid ba'olamo. That's pshat number one. Pshat number two, says Meretz, that's Yom Echad Shenasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bein LeTzadikim Bein LeRashayim Veizu Zeh Yom HaKippurim. That's the one day your God gave for Tzadikim and Rashayim together. And that's the one day that they share. And that's Yom Kippur. That's the second pshat of Meretz.
That first. Yom Echad refers to Yom Kippur.
That's right. And that's what I said. I said a few minutes ago that you will find this Lashon HaMedrash made in terms of Yom Echad Bashana, referring to this marriage. It's the day of one. It's the one day for Tzadikim and Roshoyim, and that's Yom Kippur.
And what about Rosh Hashanah?
Rosh Hashanah not.
I mean, but don't we say it's,
it's only one day a year, but this is the day of one. For the tzaddikim and the Roshoyim. Now you can understand, deeper what's going on there. Because the psukim before Vayevar Boker Yom Echad, we're talking about Choshech versus Or. Right? Good versus evil. And then there's one day a year. It's not two sides to the issue. No two sides to the issue. One day a year. There's no tzaddikim versus Roshoyim. Yom Echad. Shenasa Karsh Baruch Hu Ben Atzadikim Roshoyim. So all the other psukim for it said light versus darkness. Two sides to the issue. What?
It's not so good for the tzaddikim.
Okay, so there's Yom Echad B'Shana Ben Atzadikim Ben Roshoyim. Ve'ezu Zeh Yom HaKippurim. L'maaseh, the two different pshatim in the Medrash, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yachid Ba'olamo, or Yom Kippur, the truth is they're not disjointed. The two pshatim are very philosophically related. Right? It's not for naught that the evil is called the Sitra Achra, the other side. The other side. Right. Avodah Zarah is referred to as Elohim Acherin. The other. As well, there's the right versus the wrong. Right. The good versus the bad, the pure versus the impure, the two different sides of the issue. But are there two sides to the issue? Are there really two sides to the issue? So we know in the future, Bayomahu Yashem Echad Ushmo Echad. No two sides to the issue. Only one. And that's just between Echad and Rishon. Right? Echad can mean, has the ability, could mean, the one and only. Like, v'hu echad v'ein sheni. Rishon doesn't mean that. Rishon means the first, and the Dafka implies that there's a second, third, and fourth coming after. Like we learned, you know, in Derech Hashem, also when we mechav in Hashem Echad, when we say at the end of that pasuk, never mind, God is the one and only. One and only reality, one and only king. Right? But then there's something else, you know, that he did make room for us. And in that relationship that he made room for us, he's called Rishon. He's our leader, like our Rosh. He's our head. He's our king. Where is the nation? And that's what Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso refers to. And Zohar says that. That the first pasuk of Shema is Yehuda Ilah, the higher unification, saying that God is one and only and there is none other. Period. There is none other. Einod. Einod Milvado, in the literal sense. The unification of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso is that, you know, there's God and there's everything else, but that's not a stira because we are His glorious majesty. So we're not in competition with Him. We don't obscure Him. We're His glorious majesty. I mean, if it would be true. Right? If it would be true. Right? So now, even as tainted as we are with Yetzirah, we could still say Hashem Echad out loud because, as it were, we're negating our existence or we're negating the existence of everything else. What's hard to be miyashiv, what's hard to reconcile, is that, you know, him and us together, and when we're all so tainted with evil, that's hard to reconcile. That's why if we say it because we are B'nai Yaakov, right, we still have to whisper it because we're not doing a very good job at it. Right? But, you know, to totally negate our existence, you know, we could do that. We could declare that, I mean to say. I mean, it's easier said than done, but at least it's easier said because it's not a lie. That's why it's easily said. Right? Say, I'm His glorious majesty, that's a lie. I mean, if your Yetzirah controls you or has tremendous foothold, that's a lie. Hashem Echad is truth, right? It's truth. So you could say it loud and clear whether you're living up to that truth or not, but at least you're talking the truth. Right? Shem Kvod Malchuso. Glorious majesty. What that glory are you giving him? On the first day of creation, like the way it'll be in the future. All right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it'll be clear he's the one and only. Nothing is real like he's real. But you know what the milah of the future is over the past? The milah of Lasilova over the first day of creation. Well, as the first day of creation, there really was nothing else. Everything was just tov avo. The milah, of that destiny shouldn't be for nothing, right, is that V'Hashem lemelech al kol ha'aretz v'omu yashem echad shmo echad. He'll be king over the whole world. There'll be a world and it'll be populated and there'll be all these tremendous creations, and still Hashem Echad Shmo Echad. There'll be a reconciliation between Hashem having created others, but even though there'll be others, there's not going to be a other side to the issue. Still just Hashem Echad. Others without there being an other side to the issue. You know, the big challenge that there is in life is that when God created others and gave them space, turf to stand, when He split the waters on the second day, and furthermore, when He uncovered the dry land on the third day, He made space, to have people stand opposite Him. All right, and, you know, and in that, You know, so in that state of, you know, being able to stand opposite to him, so you could have intimacy, like ponim beponim dibra Hashem imachem, go to him face to face, like we hope to be in the future, to be zocher to look the Shechina face in the face, right? And that's why we have to, as we learned in Derech Hashem also, we have to work hard to earn our perfection that should be, you know, rightfully earned and not bitstaka, and that way you could look the Shechina in the face with pride, as opposed to, you know, getting a charity, then you're embarrassed to look the Shechina in the face, right? But also being, you know, on two different sides of, you know, the spectrum. So there's the potential for intimacy, like we just went, but there's also the potential for rebellion. You know, you're standing on your square. You could face towards, you could face away. And that's what opens up the whole possibility of rebellion, sin, impurity. It's all in that, you know, space that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made on the second day of creation when he split the waters. When everything's underwater, everything's okay. And that's why, by the way, no coincidence. When it had to start over, it flooded the world. Not a coincidence. It's exactly what happened. It brought everything back to the first day of creation. And start it over again. Like I said, every person, that's Risharim said, have that kavanah when you go to the mikveh. That's what's dissolving. Right? But that's where sin is, and that's where the ability to face away from God is. We have space. We have our turf. That gives us the option either to face towards or face away. If that space would be closed up, right, there will be no ability to do anything other than what God wants. And evil just wouldn't exist. It wouldn't have space to exist in. It wouldn't have, you know, a foothold in reality. So now we begin to understand, you know, what happens on Yom Kippur. Right? The power of the day. The world is reset. The world goes back to like day one of creation. It's like the whole world's underwater. No two sides to the issue. It's Yom Echad Bashana. So even though all the Pesukim before talk about the light versus the darkness, there's a day of oneness. Ben Atzeki Bereshayim, there's no two sides to the issue. There's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From every side, it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. On this day, the Satan doesn't work. There's no Sitra Acher. There's no other side to the issue. All the gaps are closed. The world is flooded. There are no two places. There are no two sides. And that's how the cleansing happens. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Ma mikveh b'taras ha'tmeim. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'taras Yisrael. It's a pasuk that the Gemara in Yuma brings, you know. You know, the literal pasuk b'taras mikveh, you know, miloshin tikva, hope. We hope for Hashem. So Mishnah says to Darshan Loshan Mikveh. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Ma Mikveh Mitaris Atzmeim. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitaris Yisrael. Lifnei Hashem Titoru. Because we only face God in Yom Kippur. There is no other place to turn. There's no other area. There's no other place to face. So when it's a Lifnei Hashem Titoru. Purified. The avoda of the Sir HaMishtaleach, you know, to understand what's happening over there. Right? So, you know, we're taught, v'yishlichas ko avonosam, we really throw our sins away. You know, what does that mean, to throw your sins away? Yeah, we throw the sins away, right? Sfarim further explained that, as it were, we give the Satan our sins. You know, what does this mean? The pshat is like this. Right. Be'etzem, evil only exists in the mind. Only exists by our perception. And we know that because God is the one and only real power. We had this in Derech Shem over and over and over again. That's why the good is destined to beat the evil, because the evil doesn't really exist the same way the good exists. We had this concept Derech Shem, because the good comes from God, and the evil comes from, you know, a vacuum of God's light. You know, a vacuum has no essence to it. We had this concept in Derech Shem many times. Evil does not have, you know, mahut, doesn't have essence to it. Right? Now, the problem is that, you know, we give it space. We give it space. There are trained professionals at the table, so they can explain this better than me. You know, your mental problems don't exist either. It's all in the mind, right? But if you're willing to act upon them, you know, of course you gave them space. You brought them to life. Because you're willing to... You know, first you give them a lot of space in your mind and heart to, right? And then they further go from just thought into action, because you're willing to live based on these lies, live based on these hang-ups, right? Now, and, things that lo hayu v'lo nivru, things that never were and never could be, right, could cost people a lot of money and a lot of life. Nazism. One guy dreamt it up. Swept up a whole nation, left 20 million people dead. That's some shigas. Some things he made up. So he could, you know, even though it doesn't exist, but if you want to give it space, you know, you make it real. You make it your reality. When you give it space, then it becomes a real competitor for reality. And it becomes a painful battle until the real reality beats the pseudo-reality. But then there's a simpler way to win the war, right? And just pull out the ledge, pull out the carpet from under them. Deny them their space. You gave them space to exist, take that space away. So we take that space away, so the evil collapses, lost its foothold in reality, and it just goes back to where it came from. Which is oblivion. Goes right back into oblivion. Now, the avod of the Seir Mishlech is something very, very deep, reflecting the human perception that has to be changed on Yom Kippur. And we're only zocha on this day to have this clarity, because it disappears right after Yom Kippur again. You take two goats. They look identically the same. Right? You know what that looks like? That's us. That's our life, good and evil. They look equally real. Equally real. And what we have to do is that, you know, the avoda of the gorolos is to clarify. You know, we say in Davening, Umanoim Goroleinu. How pleasant is our lot? Gorol just doesn't just mean lots. It means finding where you belong. Right, the avod of Sira Mishtach is now to seemingly the good and evil are equally weighted and equally as real, and we're clarifying that they're not equally as real. One goes Lashem, the other one goes La'azazel. Azazel represents oblivion. Now, oblivion is, you know, doesn't really exist, but neither does the evil. And that's what it means. You give your sins back to the Satan. The whole act of throwing it over that, throwing the sins into oblivion, so giving it back to the Satan. Satan's just an imaginary concept. You know, his power is that he takes over your mind. That's his whole power. He doesn't have any, doesn't really have a kingdom of his own. Doesn't really have any power of his own. You know, everyone knows the famous Gemara in Sukkah, Lassi Lava, Kershkos come and destroy the Yetzirah in front of the Tzadikim and Rishayim. Rishayim seemed like a hare. How did I not overcome that hare? That's all he is. You know? You give him power because you believe in him. There's a medrash, I can't remember where it is, you know, that the that a man who has no arms and no legs and just had a stick resting against his shoulders. So it's at the crossroads on the highway. And people used to pass by and he threatened people. Listen, you give me your money, I'm going to hit you with my stick. And everyone just says, got a stick. Everyone gave him his money. So one bright person said, he's got no arms, he's got no legs. So he beat up the guy and took his money. Right? Says, that's the Yetzirah. It's a chazal. That's the Yetzirah. He's got no arms, he's got no legs, just carries a big stick. Doesn't really exist. Huh? You're believing in him. You know, it's what they call self-fulfilling prophecy. That's where he gets all his power from. And that's what, brings him into reality. You know, we give him the foothold in reality. We give him a ledge to stand on. I mean, the potential to have a ledge to stand on is when God parted the waters. That's the potential for the ledge, right? But it didn't have to be that way, right? Because God wanted to give us space so we could worship him and have a relationship with him. That should be kvod malchuso in the positive sense, right? You know, but that space that God gave us, you know, we invite the Yetzirah in over there. And that's where the whole coma of the Sitra Achra comes from. His whole hierarchy, his whole kingdom. We gave it to him because we believe in him. We invite him into the space that God made for us. On Yom Kippur, that space is closed. So the evil just goes back into oblivion. So it's called that evil doubles over on itself. So it's called we give our sins back to the Satan. Because there's no ledge in reality for the evil to stand on.
Unless we create.
Yes. Yes, you're raising a very sensitive point. Like we said before, there's no Yetzirah Yom Kippur. Yet the Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon handed over a guy to the Romans, felt bad about it. Then they tell him that he and his son gang raped a girl on Yom Kippur. See, the obvious question is, how did it happen? There's no Yetzirah on Yom Kippur. Because even though his son doesn't work, if you want, you could pay him overtime and he'll come. It's very frightening. Even on Yom Kippur, if you want to let the son in, God says, I took him out of my world. You want to let him into your personal world, you can, even on Yom Kippur. Very sad.
So why
as it were, the cosmos is working for you on this day, working for you, and you deny God, you know, you turn down God's gift, and you bring in the Yetzirah anyway. That's terrible. Yeah. Yes, but it could theoretically be done, because you still have your mind and heart. So you bring him in there, even though he has nowhere else to stand around you. Yes?
So what about, you know, the 20 million dead? I mean, it's just a question of how you perceive it, that if you perceive it,
that's... So, I mean, that's right, they died for nothing. Yes, yes, yes. Nothing could do serious damage. Nothing can do serious damage.
That's
you believe in
perception.
It. Yeah. Right. So that's what it means. You know, on Yom Kippur, we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso out loud. On Yom Kippur, there's no Yetzirah. On Yom Kippur, the evil loses its foothold. It doesn't have a place to stand anymore. So it goes back into oblivion. The evil doubles over on itself. It can no longer invade reality, so it just collapses upon itself. That's what it means. Give your averus back to the sun. And we can only do this on Yom Kippur. If we do this any other day of the year, we'll be called worshipping the sun and making the sun stronger. It's just this gula of Yom Kippur that what's happening is because the gaps in reality are being closed, right, that now the evil is now losing its foot on reality and it's doubling over on itself.
Is that all of Yom Kippur or just by
Nero? That's all of Yom Kippur. Nero's the high point, but it's the whole Yom Kippur. Now, so now you can understand a little bit that, you know, Yom Kippur is not part of regular space-time. That, it's not a regular day of the year. Even Shabbos and Yom Tov is part of the regular space-time continuum that, you know, operates during the 6,000 years. During the 6,000 years, God wanted there to be, you know, the challenge between good and evil. So, you know, God made it a real struggle, and he gave it a place, gave evil a place to stand. Right? And even Shabbos and Yom Tov is not an exception to that. Yom Kippur is. Yom Kippur is not part of regular time space of the Olam Hazeh, of these 6,000 years of this world. It's like going back to the first day of creation. The big reset button. The Bayom Ahu Yashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Like it'll be in the future. How do we refer to the future? Ketz Hayomim. Right? You've heard the term. You ever have to ask what it means? Ketz means an edge. There's another pasuk that says, Ketz Som Lachoshech. Right? Darkness has its edge. Because Shabbos is like this. You know, evil exists, you know, between here and here. Between the second day of creation till Lasid Lavo. That's where it exists. Those are its edges. Those are its katzet, katzavot. It started on the second day of creation and it ends b'mehera b'yameinu. Ketz Hayomim. Right? Past that edge, evil doesn't exist anymore. It's given a certain latitude on a temporary basis for, you know, during the 6,000 years of Olam Hazeh. Starting from the second day of creation. The future is called Ketz Hayomim, the edge of days, because we get out of that box. That little, you know, box where evil was allowed to hang out. You get past that. The Mimel, the evil's not there anymore. And that's what happens on Yom Kippur. That's what the Rambam calls it. Ketz Mechila V'Slicha. The edge of forgiveness. Marty edge. You reach that edge. You know, you break out of the box where evil exists. It's the special reality of Yom Kippur. And that's what, you know, that explains the Lashon Atzmo Shel Yom, that you'll find in Sfarim, the essence of the day. You know, the essence of the day, to say the Yom. No, Atzmo Shel Yom. Yom Kippur is a day on the calendar, but it's not part of the calendar. It has a special essence that's beyond the calendar. It's not a regular time. Just like it's not regular space. The Pasuk says, Al Yovo B'Cholei Sala Kodesh. You know, the introduction to the whole Avod of Yom Kippur is the Isser going into the Kodesh HaKadosh. It says, Al Yovo B'Cholei. Never come to the Kodesh HaKadosh. Yom Kippur is seemingly part of B'Cholei, isn't it? And it says, V'chol Adam Lo Yabol Moed. No one should ever be there. No Adam. So everyone knows the famous Yerushalmi. You know, so the Kohen Gadol is an Adam. No, so I'm saying Yom Kippur is not an Adam. He's a Malach. Fine. What about B'chol Eis? What about any time? The prohibition and on Kodesh and Yom Kippur go in. Yom Kippur's not any time. It's out of, Now, there's a sifrei like that. It says, B'chol Eis ze Yom HaKippurim. It's like all time. It's not a particular time. And that's what the Rambam meant. The opening words around Yom Kippur Zman Tshuva Lakol. It's Tshuva time for all, because the whole world's going back to God. That's what it means. It's man tshuva lakol. No, but everyone. Tshuva time. Not the pshat, it's a time on the, so we ask the kasha, right? So is Yom Kippur to do tshuva on Yom Kippur's Adam mitzvah say shazman grama? Because Rambam says, therefore, all Beis Yisrael, everyone, men and women alike, are chayv to do tshuva and vidur and Yom Kippurim. He doesn't mean Zman Tshuva as in it's a calendar date to do Tshuva. We say Mitzvah Shazman Grama. It means Tshuva time means it's a different type of time altogether. It's like reminiscent of the future. The day of Ketz Mechila as in Ketz Hayamim, it's a portal to the future. It's not a regular calendar date. It's a portal to the future. And the chiyuv to do tshuva is to be in step with the reality that's going on now. So I'm going to say shazman grama, it's to be in step with the reality that's happening around you. The whole world's going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why on this day, the Kohen Gadol, as a representative of Olam Yisrael, could go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is not a regular day, and he's not, we're not in regular space. On this day is the big reconciliation between our world and God's world. And that's why on this day, you say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso out loud, just as loud as you say Shema Yisrael. Year-round we say Shema Yisrael out loud, that's God's world. And we're negating our existence. Baruch Shem is our world, we're not too proud of that. Right? On this world, the universes are one. The two realities have been merged. Our reality and God's reality have been merged and are in sync. And the world of evil is fissioned off, as per the Sira Mishtech, and goes into oblivion. And that is the tremendous cleansing power of this day. It's not just forgiveness. Evil is really removed from reality. And it's a wonderful day that if you could tap in and be in step with this day, you could jettison all your hang-ups, all your bad feelings. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Right? But you have to be in step with the day. You yourself have to do tshuva. Tshuva is a lot more than just saying sorry. Tshuva is about changing, making a change. There's a famous kasha attributed to Rav Yochanan Wasserman. And with this we'll conclude. The famous kash attributed to Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says this: Hare, we find that a person can lose the schus of his mitzvahs if he regrets doing them. Toal Rishon, as it's called. A person regrets doing a mitzvah, you know, so Chazal tells us he loses the schar of that mitzvah. That mitzvah won't even, Rambam says even more, that mitzvah won't even stand in his defense if there's a kitruk against him. He does, you know, he cut himself off from his mitzvahs. So ask Rabbi Chanan, so what's the big chesed of tshuva? It works both ways. If you could regret your mitzvahs and lose your mitzvahs, you'd be able to regret your averus and lose your averus. That's the kash. The answer is very simple. There's a very big difference. Your mitzvahs exist. The tikkunim that you made are real. You just won't get paid for them. Tshuva is different. You take all that evil out of reality. It's expunged from reality. It's erased. It doesn't exist. That's the power of tshuva. And that's the power of Yom Kippur. It's not saying sorry and just, you know, not being punished for the bad that you did. The bad won't exist anymore. It is removed from existence. Can't compare the two. You want to get technical, the tshuva of goyim is, you know, basically the same as Toal Rishonis. They just don't get punished for the evil that they did. Right? If they do tshuva, like Ninveh. Right? But the gift of tshuva that Am Yisrael has, the gift of Yom Kippur, you know, it's not just, you know, to get out of being punished. It is to remove it from reality. You rewrite your history. You clean up the world. And now you can sort of understand, when you do tshuva, you can have avinosu naslo kischuyas. You know, your tshuva, you know, you turn your averus into mitzvahs. If it would just be about being saying sorry, you just can't hear how that's possible. Evil is evil. Right? You get a commuted sentence or you get off the hook. Whatever. You know. Tshuva is much more than that. Tshuva is to wash away, and you, with the power of tshuva, you can even make things better than they were before, depending on how strongly you tap in. And that's the power of tshuva year-round. But it's just on Yom Kippur, you know the during the year, as it were, you're working against the grain of the cosmos that gives evil a foothold. So it's very hard to wash it away. But on Yom Kippur, that according to the cosmos is working, you know, in sync. It's Zman Tshuva, like the Ram called. It's Tshuva time. The whole world's going back to God. It is easy to do on this day. It is so easy. The cosmic flow is working in that direction anyway. And you can draw down the power of Tshuva. Not just to wash away all the bad, but to even fill in that gap with goodness from the world, from the dimension of tshuva. Yes?
Well, I don't use that expression, it takes two to tango. So let's say, you know, you want to improve a certain relationship, but that person isn't filling in the space like that.
No, that's why. So you're right. So that's why everyone knows the halacha. You know, for averos ben adam lechavero, you have to reconcile with him. That's right. You know, for Ben Adam Lamakom, Yom Kippur Zoidi. For Ben Adam Lachavero, you know, Hachi Ratzah, it's Chavero. You know, you're right. You're right. But as I say, on Yom Kippur, you could tap into this power, you know, and really wash away. Something which you can't do year round. Year round, there's the power of tshuva, but, you know, it's an uphill battle because, you know, the cosmos is not supporting the cleanup act that you're trying to do. But today, the Kosher was washing his whole world. That's what the word kapara means, like a chaper panav. Rashi explains, to wash. That's what kapara means. That's what tahara means. Ki bayom hazeh yechaper lechem. L'tahar eschem. And why and how? Lifnei Hashem titaru. Because if you're only facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you realize there's nowhere else to face, there is no other way out. There are no two sides to the issue. Mimele you become pure. Because there is no other.
So is the concept of doing tshuva for Averus Bein Adam L'Makom before Yom Kippur only to allow ourselves to be in sync when Yom Kippur comes? Like if we could just turn on a switch switch and be that way when Yom Kippur comes, that we wouldn't have to do that tshuva?
Look, I mean, it's just, you know, you have to do tshuva immediately upon doing a sin. But the, it's very, you know, vis-a-vis regret and wanting to change, the ability to wash it away is very hard to do on your own steam. You know, tshuva you have to do vis-a-vis, you know, reconciling yourself with that Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, making your peace with him. That you have to do, you know, right away, right? But you know, vis-a-vis to successfully wash it away, right? That's what we need Yom Kippur for. So the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, he delineates. If you just, you know, missed, you know, a mitzvah saseh, you didn't say Kriya Shema on time, you know, tshuva is enough to wash that away. But for any negative commandment upwards, it only gets washed away with Yom Kippur. But you have to do tshuva immediately. But, you know, you have to say sorry and, you know,
That's Ben Adam
L'Makom. Yeah, Ben Adam L'Machaver, you need, you know, you have to ask his forgiveness because, it's between you and him. Or her. Right, that's the power of the day. It's a day that's outside of a regular time-space. It's a day where evil lost its foothold to exist. And if people go through Yom Kippur, right, not feeling that, it's because they haven't prepared themselves properly. There's tremendous energy on this day. Tremendous, even though we don't have the Sira Mishdalech anymore, we're lacking that unique avoda that most definitely plays out what's happening in the cosmos, that the evil is fissioned off and goes into oblivion, removed from reality. Azazel means out of reality. Huh? But that's still the power in the day itself, nonetheless. Ki bayom azeh yichaper alechem. So we have to go into Yom Kippur, you know, with tremendous faith in the power of tshuva in general. The Rambam writes that. The reason why he put, you know, Hilchos Tshuva and Sefer Amada, the Book of Knowledge, and all of it. Well, he put everything else you have to believe in. It's because you have to believe in tshuva. It's something that you have to believe in. You got to believe it works. Otherwise, you lose hope. And you never get your, you know, you have to believe that tshuva works. That Kosher who, you know, wants your tshuva and will accept your tshuva. You also have to believe in the power of Yom Kippur. Believe that on this day, right, all evil is washed away. It loses its foothold in reality, and when Yom Kippur is over, it doesn't have to be the same way it was before Yom Kippur. You don't have to go back to being the same way you were. You don't have to. This was a reset. It's a reset button. It's a new world after this. It's like going back to the first day of creation, everything's underwater, right? The day after Yom Kippur is a new world. You don't have to go back to your old ways. If the problems are still there, they're just new problems that look like the old problems. Right? But Be'etzem, all the evil has been washed out of the world. And if you have that type of emuna, it'll be easy to change, to make a change in life, make a change in your avoda, make a change in your character. We don't change because we don't believe in the power of tshuva. We don't change because we don't believe in the power of Yom Kippur. The mischazik in, you know, emunah and bitachon, the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us this day to clean us up. Gave us the chesed of tshuva in general. And to make sure to utilize it. Believe in it and utilize it. Yes.
Do we have to have like a detailed game plan, or just?
No, don't need to have a detailed game plan. Just a determination to change for the better. All right, Kosher should help us that the. You know, to believe in the power of tshuva, believe in the power of Yom Kippur, and do your best to harness it. Atzmo sheyom kippur mechaper lashavim, the Rambam paskins, you know, like that sheet in the Gemara, that, you know, Yom Kippur, it works, I mean, but it's not going to work without tshuva, for you. tshuva actually taps into the power of Yom Kippur. You tap into the power of Yom Kippur through doing tshuva on Yom Kippur. You have to believe in the power of tshuva, be the power of Yom Kippur. The Rosh should help us. This will be, you know, not just Ketz Mechila V'Slicha, but it will be the last Yom Kippur until Ketz Hayomim, B'mehera V'Yomeinu.